Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
If you will make your way back to your seats. It's a privilege to be with you in God's house today. I definitely feel the presence of the Lord and an extra dose of testosterone this morning. Feel it. Feel it. Yes. Yes. Okay. And in honor of that, I cannot miss the opportunity on behalf of every lady here today. I want to bless our men. So if I could ask our men, would you do me the honor of standing for a moment? All of our men, youngest to oldest. Thank you. If you would bow your heads. Father God, I really do feel privileged and a responsibility, God, that we live today in a time where masculinity is often seen as a curse and not a blessing. But Lord, you are the creator God who created masculinity to be a great blessing and a gift to this world. And so today I want to speak blessing over our brothers of every age and every stage. God, I pray that you will grow these men according to your good pleasure. May they give offerings that please you like Abel, have intimacy with you like Enoch, obey you like Noah, follow you like Abraham, speak blessing over the lives of their children like Isaac blessed Jacob, wrestle with you and not let go like Jacob, maintain godly perspective in spite of their circumstances like Joseph, have humility like Moses, vision to go in and take all the territory you have for them like Joshua, tenderness like Boaz, a heart for you like David, loyal friendship like Jonathan, desire for wisdom like Solomon, fierce prayers like Elijah, courage like Gideon, integrity like Daniel, faithfulness like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, leadership like Nehemiah, voices that cry out like John the Baptist, a love for you like the Apostle John, boldness like Peter, encouragement for others like Barnabas, the ability to suffer for the cause of Christ like Paul. Father God, I ask you to raise up these men and conform them to the image of Christ who came here as a servant. Grant them the ability to serve their families, to serve their coworkers, to serve their church, to serve their communities like Jesus, who gave himself and his whole life over to your will, even unto death. Lord, raise them up and help us ladies to come alongside and take on the responsibility to love them, to respect them, and to build them up according to your will and your pleasure for all of us, for our good. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. And now, young gentlemen, please come, and we're going to pray over the offering and Mr. Mike here. Lord, we have come to your house today. We worship you in song and praise your name. Teach us to proclaim your salvation day after day, to declare your glory among our communities, your marvelous deeds among all peoples we come across. For great are you, Lord, and most worthy of praise. You are to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the world are idols. But you made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before you. Strength and glory are in your sanctuary. We want to be mindful of the greatness of the one we give to this morning. We want to bring an offering that is worthy of your extravagant giving towards us every day through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I do lift up my brother Mike, that you would speak powerfully, effectively, and clearly to us through him. Give us open, soft hearts to hear your word, to see how it applies to us, and to go do it, Lord, to make a difference in our lives and in our communities for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I got the mic on. I'm mobile. All right. Well, I'm excited, church.
I'm excited, too.
I'm really scared to death. I can get up here and run my mouth all the time, the announcements, but I'm not nervous about what y'all think. It's about bringing God's word. You don't mess with God's word. So I'm just nervous that that he's just happy with what he's given to my heart, and we'll just see what happens. Yeah, it's easy to run my mouth up here. Won't you join me in prayer? Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you that you are Lord and we are not. Lord, I thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your provision, your abundant blessings. Lord, I pray that you forgive us our sins against you this day, Lord, and just be with us. Be with us time now as we hear your word. Just move me aside, Lord. Hide me behind the cross and speak through me. And just let me do your word justice, Lord, that it just put a smile on your face, that it just praise your name. Open the hearts and the ears of all those who hear my voice, Lord, that they could just hear what you have for them, Lord. If there's one here that does not know you as Lord or Savior, just let them hear you knocking on their heartstrings. They would open the door and say, please come in. Be my Lord and Savior. Lord, just let us grow closer to you in our daily walk and be more like you. And we just thank you for your son, Jesus, coming and becoming flesh and going to that cross for all of our sins, Lord. But oh, glorious day, he rose again and he's alive and well with you now interceding for us, Lord. I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this escalated quickly. For Baptist Men's Day, pastor said, who would like to give a testimony? I was like, sure, I will. And then it escalated into a whole message. And I'm like, what? Excuse me. That escalated quickly. But the Lord, you know, I was praying about, all right, what am I going to share? And I did this devotional in the Band of Brothers one day. And it's on one verse. And it's Psalm 118:24. You can see it up there on the board. I'll just say it with me. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And just a little bit about that verse. That's probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I'm mobile. I can move. Can you hear me? All right. My last deployment into Iraq in 2017, that's when ISIS was still what they thought was going pretty strong, and we were there to visit them. And this verse got me through each day, the good days and the bad. And so this... As I walk down the stairs, Michelle's had the lettering put on the wall. So I come down, and that's the first verse I see as I walk down the stairs to start the day off. And so it's kind of important to me. And then God just laid this on my heart to share this message with you today of what he laid on my heart. And it's going to be a good day. I know that because I was brushing my teeth this morning, and I looked up in the mirror, and I saw a child of God staring back. Amen. It's a good day. Amen. It's a good day. So I'm going to make sure I keep y'all here. It's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That way you don't get spoiled and you'll be happy to have the pastor back next week. So, yeah. Pastor showed a video clip of the news media thing that they did on Will and myself. They did on Father's Day, and he showed the day I got ordained. And it painted this real pretty picture of the man that I am. And it makes me look all great and hunky and dory with nice wrapping paper. But that's not always who I was. I am a broken sinner, and for my testimony, I don't want to share as much about the terrible person I was, but where I am now. So I'm going to give you just a little bit of background of where I was, but I really want to focus on what God's doing today, because that's what's important. Because we're all sinners, we all have skeletons in our closet. And just a little bit, I was a military brat. Dad was in the Coast Guard. We moved a lot. He liked to drink and fight a lot, so they liked to move him a lot. So in between that and my parents being dysfunctional, I moved a lot. Like 4 elementary schools in first grade in 5 weeks in 2 states. That kind of moving a lot. I was always a little small kid. So when you move a lot and you're the small kid, you get picked on and you get bullied. And so you either learn to tolerate the bullying or you learn to fight. I don't like bullying. So I turned into a scrapper. And, you know, not raised in church. I think I remember going to church one time when I was real young and my grandmother made us go. And my first verse I ever learned was 1 John 7, let us love one another. I'll never forget it. Abused as a kid, had an older sister who was not a good person. Neglected, that was a time in the early, late 70s, early 80s when you could have a single parent, they'd leave the kid at home while they're still working, and you were, Pop-Tarts were the nutrition of champions. So left at home quite a bit. And then in 1984, my brother, who's 7 years older, came to live with us, and so he kind of helped raise me a little bit, but a lot of time at home, not raised in church, but that's okay. Because that's not who I am anymore. Grew up angry. Anger and bitter were my shield. And held on that for a long time. Saved at 19. Worked in a subway in a little small town in Tennessee. And saw all the same faces all the time. And this one face came in I'd never seen before. Led me to the Lord and never saw him again. So that's definitely a God thing. Saved but not discipled. So I wasn't growing in the Lord. So I was using that that I'm saved, my salvation is a get out of jail free card. Still sinning and still living in the world, one foot in the world, one foot, in salvation, but not disciple, not growing. And that was kind of my life for a long time. And like the pastor shared last week, I didn't have both feet in. So, it was still drinking on the weekends, going to church, asking for forgiveness. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm good. I can still do this and live in the world and not living right. But praise the Lord, all that changed. Michelle and I say that God took us to El Paso. He had to take us to the wilderness to get our life right. And if you've ever been to El Paso, that's the wilderness. It's the desert. But got out there and got sober. Praise the Lord. Victory through Jesus Christ. Got sober out there, rededicated my life, started living for the Lord. And, well over 6 years sober now. And I just praise the Lord for that. Victory through him. It's not me. It's all Jesus. And so I began reading in God's word and growing in him and came here and just felt the love and gratitude and acceptance. Never really had any roots anywhere. Just always wanted to feel accepted. And everything I did in martial arts and whatever I did work, I always worked hard because I just wanted to be accepted. And came across as arrogance. Matter of fact, Michelle will tell you, she hated me when we first met. She thought I was arrogant and very cocky and really was just very insecure, just trying to be accepted because I didn't have any roots anywhere. And that's not me anymore. I know who I am. I am secure in the Lord, and I have the love of Jesus Christ. I've got a mansion being built in heaven. I've got a family here at Gorge Springs. We've been at Fort Bragg for a long time. This is home. This is our family. And I'm not that same insecure, arrogant, if you will, scared little boy anymore. I'm secure in my walk with the Lord. So praise the Lord for that. This verse... Like I said, last deployment, I lived real rough. I shared some of this before. I lived in a little 6 foot by 6 foot by 9 foot concrete block. It's called a sea bunker. And what it's designed to do is just a big concrete bunker. So when they start shooting rockets and missiles and mortars, all that stuff, you run inside of that to protect you. And so we had soldiers in the tents. We didn't have enough tents for everybody. So the leadership lived in these little sea bunkers, basically a jail cell. So I will tell you that after living in a sea bunker for 7 months, you really learn to appreciate the nice homes that we have here in America. I still sit in my living room. That deployment was 3 years ago, and I sit in my living room and just think, wow, man, I'm blessed because I've lived a lot rougher. I did have the privilege of assisting 3 individuals of digging a hole in ancient Babylon. If you know where Mosul is in Iraq, it's the ancient Nineveh. That's where Jonah went to share God's word after the fish spit him out. Ancient Nineveh and ancient Babylon. And did have the privilege and pleasure of 3 individuals. We dug a hole there in ancient Babylon for them to be baptized. So even in the midst of war, God is there with you. And it was just, I'm going to have a spell, preacher. Code's about to come off. It's about to get serious. So just getting to baptize those 3 individuals and seeing them doing that public profession of faith in ancient Babylon and just taking a step back. I'll tell you that God's timing is perfect. Praying for this message, I did, just kind of figure out how it was going to go, and God's timing is perfect, but it's not on Eastern Standard Time, I'll tell you that. Woke me up about 2:30 in the morning about 2 weeks ago, so picture, if you will, here I am, hooked up to my CPAP, breathing like Darth Vader. It's funny, I'm telling you, it's funny, and boom, I'm woke, wide awake. And Michelle's over there sleeping. She's all crazy, comfy in our bed. And I got my CPAP on. I got my phone out. And it's real bright. And I turn it down. And I got my little pen. I don't have my readers on. I'm trying to capture all my notes that God's given me this message. And I had a whole outline, bam, laid out. And I was like, whew, thank you, Lord. I put my phone down. He wasn't done yet. And I'm picking my phone up. I'm taking notes. And so I was thinking about that. And I shared it with the pastor. And here comes the pastor. He's getting serious. Oh, yeah. And shared it with the pastor. And he said he's also gotten messages in the middle of the night. And then last night I had an epiphany that God does not work on Eastern Standard Time because Jerusalem is 7 hours ahead of us. So by the time God's gotten up and had his breakfast and had his coffee, and he's time to get to work, it's still 2:30 in the morning here, and that's when you get your best material. So I'd advise you to keep a notepad next to your bed so when God's at work, you can capture what he's got for you. Feel free to plagiarize. Use my material and I'll tell like a T.I. is. All right, there you go. All right. In this psalm, the psalmist is writing in Psalm 118 of God's eternal love. His love endures forever. His love is unchanging in the midst of our situations. Doesn't matter what you're going through. God's love doesn't change. That should give you security. That should let you know that you are secure in God's love. There are days that the last thing you want to do is rejoice. We all have bad days. We all have great days. But God is always good, and His love doesn't change. And there's days you shouldn't feel that you don't feel like rejoicing, but you should. Our mood's down. We feel out of control. Our sadness and our guilt feels overwhelming. We feel insecure. No matter how you feel, tell God. He knows you. He knows you. He knows you down to the core. He made you. He wove you together. As you talk with God, in your prayers with praise, praise Him. Amen. And when you don't feel like rejoicing, tell God how you feel. God's going to remind you of reasons to rejoice. God's given you this day to live and to serve Him and be glad. So, first point I make is this is the day. I got a whole message, 4 points, three little sub-points per. I did like a pastor. Did a little outline, 4 points, 3 points. They all start with the same letter. Taking notes, pastor. So this is the day. First point is just pause. Yesterday is gone. That New Year's feeling you get each new year, everybody's like, oh, it's a new year. It's a happy, brand new, fresh feeling. Why should that be one time a year? It shouldn't just be on January 1st. That should be a daily renewing every single day. Just pause and appreciate today. I get the privilege of, well, I don't know if it's a privilege, but each morning when I'm running, a lot of times I'm halfway through my run and I'm heading back to my unit, the sun is coming up. And so as I'm coming up, and I'm usually heading east, the sun's coming in my face. And if you don't know, the North Carolina skies are real beautiful in the sunrise. And it's a brand new day each day. And it's just a wonderful feeling, especially halfway through a however many mile run when the check engine light comes on. And then Jesus gives you that renewed strength that He's with you. He is with you. Amen. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Just be still. He's God. You're not. When the Levites had heard the law and they realized what sinners they were, they wept. In Nehemiah 8:11, they tell them, so the Levites quieted all the people saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. Don't be grieved knowing you've sinned. Repent and be filled with joy. We've all sinned. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But that's not who you are. That's who you were. And maybe some of you don't know Jesus Christ and you are still a sinner. We sin each day. It's a daily renewing. Brother David shared it with us this morning. It's a daily renewing, a daily renewing. Take up your cross daily and follow the Lord daily. But pause. Pause in this busy world. We got more technology now than ever before, and we are busier and have less time than ever before. Sometimes you got to pause and be still. In the storms of your life, and you seem out of control, you seem insecure, and just things are coming at you left and right. I know last week was probably one of the hardest weeks of my military career. Just very, very unknowing and a lot of insecurities and a lot of busyness getting ready to go. We were told we could go at a moment's notice, or we might go later on, or we might not go at all. We didn't know. So in the storms of your life, no matter what you're going through, financial, marriage, work, personal, professional, whatever it is, you're going to have storms in your life. But that's okay, because the disciples were in the midst of a storm out in the sea. Jesus was taking a nap, and they were scared to death, and they woke Him up. And in Mark 4:39, it says, and He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. You know, the Sunday school answer for most of your questions is Jesus. Blah, 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 question mark, Jesus. That's the Sunday school answer. And a lot of times it works. When your life seems crazy and chaotic, pause and be still and just call out to Jesus. A lot of times, I'm a little ADHD, OCD, hyperactive, high-strung, and laying in bed a lot of times, my brain is and Michelle tries to keep up. And a lot of times, just to calm my brain to help me go to sleep, I'll just focus on Jesus. What would His face look like? What would He say? The footprints in the sand. I love that poem. And a lot of times it helps calm the crazy in my brain. Just pause and be still. And the next point is the past. This is the day. It's not the past. Don't stand on your past mistakes. Don't stand on your regrets, on your past regrets. There's going to be some humor. I'm going to slip some in there. I heard a pastor one time in El Paso give this in his message, and then we got out to the car, not 10, 15 minutes later, and the same thing came across the radio, and I was like, pay attention, knucklehead. There's a reason your rearview mirror is smaller than your windshield. Think about it. I was like, ah, it makes sense. I kind of like that. And get outside in the car, and the same guy on the radio said the same thing. There's a reason your rearview mirror is smaller than your windshield. God wants us focused on Him and moving forward. Don't forget who you were and what you've done, but don't stand it. Don't focus on it. You can't let God take you by the right hand, and you're still, oh, man, I did this. I drank. Sexual immorality, drugs, abuse, blah, 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 A, B, C, X, Y, Z. Don't focus on who you were. Don't stand on your regrets and your past mistakes. Repent. Give them to God. This altar is always open, and it's freeing. It is very freeing when you give it to God. The God box, I will tell you right now, I've put stuff in there, and God will take it. It's amazing. Miracles do still happen. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgive yourself. That's the one that we struggle with. The mirror can be evil. Sure, it's a process. It is a process. Satan tries to steal your joy. He's going to use those lies. And I'm not going to stand here and act like I got it all figured out. I don't. Satan's still, he's out there doing push-ups right now. He's waiting on us. But in the name of Jesus, get out of the parking lot, Satan. You're not welcome here. But he's going to try and steal your joy. He's going to use your past mistakes. He's going to use media, social media, politicians. But he's going to use your past mistakes, and he's going to use your lies. He's going to use that mirror and your insecurities. He's going to try and steal your joy. Basically, he can't stand it when we rejoice in the Lord. Right. But don't live on that. Give it to God. Repent of your sins. Give it to God. And then the present. Next point I make is the present. Today's a gift. That's why it's called the present. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. Live for today. 1 Thessalonians 3:8 says, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Live for now. When we walk out those doors, how can you serve the Lord? Today we celebrate the men, and men, I'm proud of you. For some of you, I know that was petrifying. That's the one time a year we get you into the choir loft, and I appreciate you. I'll tell you, it gets less scary the more you do it. But the men step up and they say, I will be the spiritual leader of my household. And for some, that's okay. One time a year they get up here and say, I'll do it. I'll show that I can overcome fear. Courage is overcoming fear in the face of adversity, and they do it. And I appreciate you, and I applaud the men. Thank you for partaking the Baptist Men's Day. But live for today. How can you serve the Lord? Serve the Lord, serve your family, serve your community. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Today is a gift. This is the day. All right. Each day you wake up, it is a gift from God. I know one of our soldiers that was fallen in Afghanistan had a homecoming yesterday. They brought him home, and what a tremendous outpouring from the community. You never know. We're not promised the next hour, the next moment, the next heartbeat. So live as each moment is a gift from God, because it is. And I didn't really understand this until I got older, more mature, walking with the Lord. And a lot of this you really grasp by getting in the Word of God and getting to know your Father. You can hear things in church and, oh, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said this. And the Bible says, how do you know unless you get in it? How do you know unless you get in it? My last deployment, I'm going to refer to that a lot because that was a life-changing moment for me. My last deployment was life-changing. I came back totally different. And Michelle can tell you this, just more appreciative, walking with the Lord. I saw God's hand of favor upon us. ISIS tried to probe our fire base 3 different times and didn't like what they saw and went somewhere else. That's God's protection on those soldiers. And the whole time I was there, nobody got injured. A couple bumps and bruises, that didn't count, but nobody was injured. That was God's protective hand. I saw his protective hand. So you can't tell me that the Lord, our God, is not alive and well. And our brother Ron shared yesterday with Miss Ollie, the cross shining into the bedroom and shining on the door that never happened before and hadn't happened since. God is alive and well. Amen. And this day is a gift from him. You need to appreciate each and every day. And here's one I really struggle with. Don't worry. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. God knows what you need. That's why the Lord's Prayer says, give us our day, our daily bread. It's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. In the midst of the storm, no matter what you're going through, distraction. Oh, I'm really mobile now. I told Pastor I wouldn't do a victory lap. But it's about your perspective, about how your outcome on things. One of my objectives at work is to never let my soldiers know when I have a bad day. I have bad days, but I've got the Lord in my life. I've got joy in my heart. So even those bad days, don't let your circumstances and your emotions, don't get happiness and sadness mixed up with joy. And that's about to come here. I'm address that here in just a few moments. But live for today. Ask God to fulfill your needs this day, because today is the day. Amen. The next point I make, go ahead, next, present, and in, one more. The Lord has made the world. Don't live for the world. Well, slow down a minute. Slow down. Oh, I didn't get that right. I got worship. All right, boom. The world's supposed to be first, but I mixed it up. It'll be okay. Go ahead. One, two, and three. Got them backwards. It'll be all right. It'll buff out. So the world. Oh, don't live in the world. Now, wait a minute. Slow down. God created the world. First, behold its beauty. When you walk out the doors, just look up into the beautiful sky, the trees. Admire God's creation. He is the creator. He spoke it all into existence. So man messed up the world, and man tried to blame God. The woman you gave me, man messed up the world, but the world that God created is a beautiful creation. And I've been all over the world and just seen different things. And like one of the most beautiful drives, the drive from here to Chattanooga, we go through the mountains, and the drive, winding mountains, scares Michelle to death in her car. It's fun. But the mountains are beautiful, beautiful mountains, and God created that. And a lot of times I just think about God creating the planet, and I think about the early settlers, that somebody had to come through here the first time. That took a lot of faith. For whatever reason, anytime I drive somewhere, I always think about somebody had to come here first. Crazy. I think about Columbus and his guys crossing the ocean in a little bitty boat. I've been on a replica of the Nina Pina Santa Maria. I've been on a replica. It's not that big. It's not an aircraft carrier. It's pretty small. And I thought those guys were crazy. They stepped out in faith and faith alone. But just marveling at God's creation. I know a lot of people like to go to the beach. The beach will make you feel small. And one problem with the ocean is when you get in the ocean, you become part of the food chain and you're not the top. So if you ever see a shark, stab your buddy and swim away. But just marvel at God's creation. God, what? It's okay. God made the earth perfect for human existence. Any closer to the sun, we'd roast. Any further away, we'd freeze. And, you know, we walk around with 15 pounds per square inch of pressure on our bodies, and we do it like it's nothing. Quick. Because God made us perfectly to live here on this planet. So just marvel at God's creation and enjoy the beauty of the world. But then there's the bad side of the world. There's the world. Resist the world. Man, social media is a horrible thing. It can be used for good, but it's not. Went to a marriage retreat there at the Cove, and the speaker talked about sex being a beautiful thing. God used it as a beautiful weapon to protect marriages and from Satan. But the world and Satan has taken that beautiful creation of God and turned it into a weapon to do evil. Because I've got it misconstrued of what sex actually is. And I'm just going to stop there because we have families in here. But this beautiful thing created by God, Satan, the world, has taken and used as a dangerous weapon against man. So getting in the Word, that topic is covered in the Bible. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing when done properly, when you invite God into your marriage and into your bedroom. Faith. You got to have faith. When resisting the world, you got to have faith. 1 Peter 5:8-10 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. He's weak. Seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and seal you. Have faith in the world. You're going to go through trials. Christianity is not this rainbows and butterflies and unicorns and leprechauns. There's still toils. There's still struggles. There's still those mountain highs and those low valleys. You're going to go through trials. I think about how a sword is made. It's violent. It goes into the fire. It comes out. It's pounded. It's clobbered. They clobber the steel. But then it goes into the nice cold water and it's soothing. But it's not done. Back in the fire, back in the pounding, back. It's a process. It's a process. Have faith. Give your worries and your struggles to Christ. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. And the second point is wonder. Marvel at his wonders. Miracles still happen. Miracles still happen. We read in the Bible of all of God's marvelous wonders, and I will tell you that miracles still happen to this day. And some of you in here have seen it, and you can testify to that miracles still happen. 1 Chronicles 16:24 says, "Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples." Acts 6:8, this is when talking about Stephen. You know, the most important prerequisite for any Christian service is to have the Holy Spirit present, to be in prayer. And you can exercise God's gifts through the Holy Spirit. And it says in Acts 6:8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." So we are called to transform our community one person at a time. And you can't do that if you're not walking with the Lord, if you're not praying and letting the Holy Spirit exercise your gifts that God has given you. If you're quenching the Spirit and you're holding on to it, "I got mine," then you're not serving the Lord. You're being selfish. And therefore, you will not be truly blessed. And then worship. Worship him. Worship him with all your life. Amen. Worship him with every breath. Amen. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said unto him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Seek him first above all else." We like to become workaholics. We like to sports and hobbies and this and that. And sometimes we get so busy taking kids here, there, and our spouses, and we run out of time. We get so tired that God gets what's left. And sometimes there is nothing left. You got to seek him first. You have to seek him first above all else. Amen. And don't hit next yet, Johnny, but I'm going to kind of set this up. This next slide, absolutely life-changing for me. I came to a marriage retreat here, and the beautiful soul, I love Michelle Restifo. God rest her soul, I love her to death. And this simple illustration I'm about to share with you totally changed my life, changed my marriage, changed my family, changed my walk with the Lord. If you hit the next slide. And I call it she called it the marriage triangle, and I plagiarized the mess out of this. I share it with my soldiers. I share it with anybody I meet. You see God at the top, man and woman. And this goes for young couples who are courting. It's not just for marriages. We also, you youngsters who are courting, dating, if you're not doing it this way, you're not doing it the right way. As man seeks God first and moves closer to God in his walk, and woman seeks God first and moves closer to God in her walk, they inherently become closer together. Amen. If you're putting your significant other first, you're doing it wrong. So fellas, you got to put the jealousy aside. You should not be number one in your wife's heart. I'm sorry. And same thing, ladies.
Is there somebody else?
Yep, God first. God should be first. And the closer you walk with God, then the closer you inherently become to each other. And I will tell you that just mind-blowing and totally changed my life. And Michelle can tell you that I became a totally different person, putting God first in my life and getting into his word and seeking him first above all else. So I'd encourage you, if you're not doing that, it'll bless your socks off, Pastor.
Amen.
Next slide. Let us rejoice. Oh, I have fun with this one. Actually, I have fun with the next two. Let us rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. The first point is praise. Praise him with your life. Praise him with all that you do. Praise him with your tithes, your offerings, your life, your time, your voice, your actions. Some of us can't sing. Praise him when you wake up. Praise him before you go to bed. Praise God for all that you have. I've been to third world countries. I've seen people walk for 3 days for the opportunity to vote. True story, 2006, Iraq. Praise him for what you have. Give thanks. We are so quick to give out those prayer requests when we need something. This altar is always open, and it's full when people are going through trials and tribulations and their needs. I need. Don't forget to give thanks. I love our answered prayer boards in the back. Each year they fill up, and that's a wonderful thing that we have prayer for needs And we also give thanks for answered prayers. What a wonderful thing. It's a relationship. Right. How would you like it if you were just, I need, and you never give. Your spouse or significant other or whomever is going to get pretty tired of that. You can't be selfish. Give thanks to the Lord because He's given you everything. He gave His only Son for you. Amen. He gave you everything. I think about my only Son, and I think about what God did with Jesus. I can't fathom. It's bad enough Him joining the army. I gave my son to the country. I can't imagine God giving His only Son for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm about to have a spill, Pastor. David praised the Lord, dancing in the streets, naked before the ark, and his wife ridiculed him. Don't quench the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit comes back, I don't care what any of y'all think about me. I really don't. If I'm up here dancing, having a hoopla, praising the Lord, Pat's raising her hands, if the Holy Spirit comes upon you, hey, Holy Spirit comes upon you. Amen. We're Baptists. We don't do that. No, we're Christians that worship in a Baptist church. Amen. That's what we are. We're Christians that worship in a Baptist church. And this community needs revival. I'm going to bring some squirrels in here, Pastor, and let some squirrels go loose. Some of y'all know the Mississippi Squirrel Revival. That's the ones that laughed. If you hadn't heard the song, it's hysterical.
Bless you, Lord.
You're right. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim His praises Proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light." Amen. Thank you, God. We don't need a priest. In the Old Testament, they needed priests. We don't need a priest anymore. Jesus took care of that. We don't need anyone to intercede for us. We have a direct line straight to the fire, straight to the Father through Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus paid the price. He intercedes for us. He's alive and well, and He's sitting at the right hand of the Lord going, "We got one. Hey, pay attention. I need you to take care of this guy. He's in there interceding for us." Amen. Hey, thanks a lot, Dad. Thanks a lot. Pray. Pray without ceasing. There again, we pray when we need things. Pray to give thanks. Pray to build a relationship. When I was preparing for this lesson, this same message was, I forget who said it yesterday, Banner Brothers. I've been kind of in a whirlwind, just stressed out, nerves going to wreck. But I think it was Ganesh. I give you credit, brother. How can you have a best friend if you never talk?
That's right.
Oh, you're my best friend. You call me once a month. How can you love your Father, your God, and walk with Him and talk with Him? And He walks with me and He talks. And love the Lord if you never talk to Him.
Right.
Prayer is your conversation with God. That's how you build that relationship. That's how you build a relationship with Jesus, is through prayer. There again, giving thanks. Rejoice. Let us rejoice for what He's done. He paid the price. He died for you. If you've never seen The Passion of the Christ, I try and watch it every Easter now just because I've seen it so many times. If you've never seen Passion of the Christ, what a graphic image of what He did for me and for you.
Amen.
Lived a sinless life. We don't like it when we get called out for doing wrong when we did wrong. He got sent to the cross and never did any wrong. Think about that for a moment. Nobody likes to be called out for being wrong. All right, I got to wrap this up. Pray without ceasing. And passion, or if you will, love. Let the Holy Spirit shine through you. Just let it shine. Don't quench the Spirit. Be that light in your community. Let the Holy Spirit shine through you. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't worry about what others think. Just live to serve the Lord. If you're serving the Lord and standing on His truth, then the world's going to ridicule you. The hardest thing to do is the right thing. They're going to judge you. They're going to make fun of you. I don't care. Because I know that God loves me. And if I'm serving Him and doing the right thing, then love and the right thing will overcome. In 1 Corinthians, love the Lord. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth and endures all things. Yesterday we had some, we had a lot of people come attend the memorial and the funeral yesterday. And there were some that used to be members here at the church that have left. And that's okay. Because they just walked up and wrapped our arms around them and said, "I love you. Hey, it's great to see you. Welcome to the house of God. because they're always welcome in God's house. Don't let the sin of the flesh and the anger and the bitterness and the hurt get in your way of loving on people. Amen. And just love those people. And when they were out, hey, praying for you, I love you. Great to see you. Have a blessed day. Be the bigger person and put away those hurts and just love on people. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now abide in faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Our relationship with Christ should be more important than our success, our wealth, our job. We represent God through His Holy Spirit in the world. So you gotta let the Holy Spirit shine through you because we represent Him. We are different from the world. You should be different. And when you have those times of insecurity, just know that you have worth. You have worth because of what God does, not what you do. And the last thing, I'm going to get there, Pastor, and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and be glad in it. Joy. Woo, boy. This is my meat and taters right here, Pastor. People ask Michelle all the time, is he always like that? Don't you just want to smack him? Yes, I am always like this. Because I've got joy in my heart. And I used to say, I got what you can't buy. And then I had an epiphany. I call them apostrophes. Had an epiphany, and I got what you can't buy because it's always already been bought. Amen. It's been paid for with the blood of Jesus. Amen. So I got joy in my heart. Even those bad days, and Brother Matt, when I worked at Division Headquarters, we've had some bad days, but you can still walk around and have joy in your heart. That's right. Because it'll all buff out. Because we know if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we know the end of the book, we win. Amen. We know there's a place in heaven built for you. You know your eternal glory. Where we reside in paradise with Miss Ollie. Yeah. We know where we're going to go if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you don't know Lord as Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I pray for you. I pray for you. Like the pastor says, forever is too long to be wrong. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come to the Father but by me. In 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I am not worried about anybody in this world, because I have a greater love inside me that overcomes the world. And I've got joy in my heart because of Jesus Christ in me. Amen. And I encourage you, when you are going through those storms, lean on Jesus. Amen. He will calm the seas. He will give you joy. Yes. Don't let anybody quench your joy. Don't let Satan steal your joy. James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all as joy when you fall into various trials. During those trials is when you're growing. They're not pleasant. Why me? Why me? Why me, God? That's because you're growing. Teaching you to lean on Him, to lean on His strength. That's why. And then when the trial is over and you look back, it's easy to look back and see what God was teaching you during those times of hardship. It's hard to see what God is teaching you during those trials. And one thing I've learned by getting into the Word, you're like, read your Bible, read your Bible. It works. By getting into the Word and learning more about your Father, when you're going through those trials, it's a lot more evident of what God is teaching you during those hard times. What a concept. The more you know about the Father, the more you understand what He's trying to teach you. But if you're not in the Word, you're not learning to be more like Jesus and learning more about the Father, then you got to wait until those, however long, when you look back and go, oh, that's what He was trying to teach me. I'll tell you, it's a lot more enjoyable to see the lesson being taught as it's unfolding than to look back, hindsight 20/20. In Galatians 5:22-25, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You walk the walk, you talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. We do good things and we act good and we do those good works and those good faiths because we've been saved. It's not if I do and if I do this and if I'm a good person, if I achieve this, then God's going to love me. He loves you anyway. Parents, think about your kids. It doesn't matter what they do, you love them anyway. God loves you no matter what. You can't earn His love. You can't buy His love. You can't do anything to get His love except receive His free gift. He loves you anyway. He loved you before you were woven in the womb. He already loves you. He's your Father, your Abba Father. Share this joy. It's easy. Some people are so uncomfortable with sharing the gospel. Go out and evangelize. Share the gospel. I'm uncomfortable. I don't like that. I'm nervous. It's an easy. When you have joy in your heart, I'll tell people. They're like, man, are you always like this? You always this happy? Yeah, I got joy in my heart. You can't buy what I got. It's already been bought with the pleasure of the royal red ruby. Try again. Already been bought with the blood of Jesus. Amen. And some people will say, amen. Or some people go, what? That's my end. It's an easy end. Yeah. Just share joy in your heart. Amen. Some of you are like, I'm not like you. I'm not an extrovert. I'm an introvert. That's all right. You can smile. Don't look creepy. All right. Justified. We are justified. Be glad in it. We are justified by the word of God. Amen. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are justified through Jesus Christ. Romans 8:30 says, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. We are justified through the blood of Jesus and through God's holy word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm doing good. I'm about to wrap this up. And last one, most importantly, boom, Jesus. Amen. Our salvation. Isaiah 46:13 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For yea, the Lord is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Salvation through Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I had a conversation with my mom one time, and she's a Christian. She believes her theology is different. And she's just talking about, I have a hard time believing that a God would let a great person like Gandhi go to hell. Might be a good person, but if he didn't know Jesus, that's a hard one to wrap your head around. Gandhi is known as one of the greatest peacemakers of the world. Of the world. If he doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's a hard one to wrap your head around. Yeah. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Amen. Wide is the gate to hell. Narrow is the path to heaven. I paraphrase that because I don't have it memorized. Jesus is the only way. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to look in the mirror, search your heart, let the Holy Spirit knock on your heartstrings. He's knocking on your door. He loves each and every one of you. Amen. And when the Holy Spirit's knocking, don't wait. Today is the day. Do not wait. We're not promised 10 more minutes. And in John 3:16, which we all know, please say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Today is the day. Don't wait. Today is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God gave me this message, and it went from a simple devotional to a full-blown message. I don't know how I can do it in one verse. It's not me. It's through the Holy Spirit. And I try not to take up too much time. I love you all very much. You're my family. I'm closer to my church family than my blood family because of the Holy Spirit, because we are one in Christ Jesus. And I love you. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, today is a day. Don't wait. Don't walk out that door. If you got something going on in your heart right now and you need to get right with God, during this invitation, come down. The altar's open. Come and do your business. Leave it here so that when you go out, you can rejoice. You can share that joy. Don't be sad. Don't be upset. Enjoy the joy of the Lord. Live for today.